ending chapter 39, and we're speaking about the levels of the four worlds of Atzilus and Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. We spoke about the difference between these four worlds, and we explained in general, this is the Rebbe had explained that the energy from Hashem that comes down to this world, eventually coming down and creating this physical world that we are in, travels through various levels in order to be changed, in order to create a world that is separate from Hashem, that is create, that it feels itself as its own creation. It doesn't recognize its source, and the reason for that is because Hashem wants to give us free choice. In order to have free choice, you have to have a process of separation, a process of attenuation, of cutting down of the energy. And as we mentioned, the general levels are these four levels: Atzilus, being the highest, and then Bria, and then Yetzira, and then Asiya. And we mentioned also that different neshamas, the souls of the Jews, are attached and get their energy from different one of these four levels. So the greatest tzaddikim are attached to the highest world, and their appreciation for spirituality, for Hashem's energy, is appreciation that is on that level. Like you're saying, a person has a very high IQ. If you have a high IQ, you're able to understand things that a person with a lower IQ just plain can't understand. Where do you have your IQ from? That's the way you're created. People are born with different IQs. So Hashem creates different neshamas, and there's a spiritual IQ. Now, the Alter Rebbe explains to us way in the beginning of Tanya that all of the neshamas really do come from the highest level. And because that's the way the energy flows. So we all come from the highest level, but we don't appreciate, we don't feel that that process. Alter Rebbe compared it to the development of the child. Every part of the child is developed from the pituitary gland, from the same stuff that the rest of the fetus is made from. So how come some things are fingernails and some things are brains and some things are hearts and, you know, and different parts of the body? The answer is it develops differently. So this is all the neshamas are connected ultimately to Hashem. But where do we feel our connection? What does the neshama feel that it is? It's what's its ability to understand and therefore to appreciate spirituality and appreciate spiritual concepts? That Hashem decides where it should, so to speak, jump off from. So the great tzaddikim are in Atzilus, and the next level of tzaddikim are in Bria, and then people who serve Hashem with a fear and love, and then Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, fear and love, that they're not such great tzaddikim, but they're worshiping Hashem with a great level of attachment. That is in the neshamas that are the capacity of the next level of Yetzirah. And finally, in the lowest level, Asiya is everybody else. So Alter Rebbe explained to us that the mitzvahs themselves and the mitzvahs that we do are each different type of mitzvah, and the way we do the mitzvah creates energy. So on the one side, our neshamas themselves, the souls themselves, are attached and have the potential for appreciation. But that's like saying a car is a very fast car. If you don't put the right fuel into it, and if you don't maintain it properly, fast car is not going to go fast. It's actually going to break down. So just because you have the potential for energy, a person is an athlete, potentially, but if you have to train, then you have to work on yourself in order to reach your maximum potential and capacity. And the same is true of the neshamas. So the neshamas all have this high level, but fine, and whichever level the neshama is attached to. But after that, this depends how you do the mitzvah. And we also explain that the mitzvahs that we do, each different types of mitzvahs that we do, and the way the mitzvahs are done, give energy and attach themselves to the spiritual energy that's already in the high, in a certain world. So if you do a mitzvah in a certain way, in a certain level of attachment, you derive energy from the highest of worlds, the worlds of Atzilus. That's the greatest of tzaddikim. We're able to draw down from those worlds. If you do energy like an ordinary Jew who does the mitzvah anyway, we're soon going to see the difference between, now that I've explained the difference of doing mitzvahs, then you draw energy down only from the lowest of levels. What's the difference between drawing down energy from the highest of levels and the energy from lower levels? So we understand this from our physical world. If you have more energy, then you can accomplish more. If you have less energy, you accomplish less, less appreciation, less accomplishment. The greatest tzaddikim can change what's happening in the physical world just by virtue of the fact that they're doing a mitzvah, or they're allowing us to attach to their mitzvahs and so on, to their instructions. Ordinary people can only deal with the energy that's in front of them. They can't build skyscrapers. They can't create new industries. They can only go to work and flip burgers maybe in a McDonald's, which is not a terrible thing. You're contributing to society, but you're not the same thing as a great tzaddik who can make new things and great things happen. We're soon going to see what that, you know, if that's really so. So the Alter Rebbe is explained to us that the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. This means that we can know the essential nature and rank of the mitzvah by its reward, the meaning, the nature of the light, the energy generated by the mitzvah and revealed to the soul is its reward. We will not concern ourselves with explaining hidden matters. As I mentioned to you, that the highest of levels is not, we have no connection. So mitzvahs that all have a connection to the world of Atzilus, and mitzvahs where the energy for doing that mitzvah is an attachment to the highest of worlds, again, Atzilus, Abriya. So the great tzaddikim level of a chariot, as we mentioned in the previous chapters, that was Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. What does it mean, a chariot? And it's so connected to Hashem that they have no desire, no will of their own. They're just like a car with a driver, chariot with a driver. So these great tzaddikim are attached to Atzilus. And even the next level of tzaddikim, who are not as great as Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but they are tzaddikim, attached to the world of Bria. We, however, we don't have access. We're not tzaddikim. But those matters revealed to us, which every man must aspire. I mean, the levels of divine service, which should be attained by every Jew. So a person has to know like this, that the essential nature and rank of divine service, meaning serving Hashem with Avas Hashem, with love for Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and fear of Hashem, that which is revealed in the heart, which a person feels, is derived from understanding and knowledge of the greatness of Blessed Ein Sof, of which, as I said earlier, the reward for divine service is the level of world of Bria. From this reward, we know that its place in the level of such spheres is motivated with such motivation in the 10 spheres of Bria. So, if a person is able to serve Hashem with the highest of levels, with the most perfect love for Hashem and the most perfect fear of Hashem, which we have previously explained is a fear and love of Hashem that comes from a motivation that is intellectually motivated, meaning you're contemplating on this things that we're reading and learning, and the person is not acting just out of a natural fear, but a natural love, but out of a love and a fear of Hashem that is motivated by their study and intellectually. So fine, you're in the world of Bria. The service of motivated by natural fear and love, which is not coming from a deep meditation. Now, we're studying these concepts. But are these concepts what's motivating us? So that's a question, whether these concepts are motivating us or not. If the study itself is motivated, is what's motivating the Avas Hashem, the fear of the love Hashem, then you're on the higher level of being a tzaddik. Now we also have to understand, as a general disclaimer here, that the level of a tzaddik is, and that's why it's so difficult to attain, the level of a tzaddik is higher than the level of what's called a beinoni. And the Alter Rebbe previously explained that a beinoni is an individual who doesn't do a single sin. So you're beginning to understand, once we take that into account, now we begin to understand the greatness of a tzaddik. So a beinoni, which it was a person who doesn't do a single sin, and not only doesn't do a single sin, but also does every single mitzvah that's only possible for them to do. And not only that, but they never get angry in the wrong way, and they never do anything. They never speak any lashon hara. Forget about the more strict sins that even ordinary people is easy to keep away from, but they don't do anything. That's a beinoni. So that's a preparation for being on this level of a tzaddik. The Rebbe is really talking here about very, very high levels of achievement that is possible to obtain, but is it reality for most people? Of course it's not reality. We're not living on that level. The Rebbe says, halavai, we should be a beinonim. That means that would that we would only live our life according to the way the Torah demands from us in every single aspect. But at any rate, it's very valuable to know about how the tzaddikim are, because at least we have appreciation for our great tzaddikim. That's number one. And to have appreciation for tzaddikim is a very big deal. The Rebbe previously said, way back in chapter 2, that each of our neshamas, and we're actually studying that these chapters now as we begin to study Tanya again, according to the study sessions that are we start Tanya every year and we finish the whole Tanya every year, 19th of Kislev. So now we're studying again about the neshamas, about how great the neshamas are, and how each neshama of ordinary Jews is connected to the neshama of great tzaddikim. So the more we appreciate the neshamas of tzaddikim, that itself intensifies our connection. Like a person who appreciates great art. Well, now you want to go to the museum. Now you appreciate the artist. Now you want to talk about it. You appreciate something else. And then now this is what your mind is filled with. Now you have an appreciation. You learn. So appreciating the great tzaddikim itself is very valuable. But anyway, this is what we're talking about here. The great tzaddikim. We're talking about their service was motivated by natural fear and love hidden in their mind. The reward is placed in the 10 spheres of Yetzirah. The divine service performed without arousing one's fear and love. And now we're talking about, ordinary Jews, so that it will emerge from the hidden recesses of the heart to be revealed in your conscious mind. But it stays in the heart. So this stays, the Alter Rebbe says, and this unfortunately is where most ordinary people live. This service remains below in this world of separation. And the level called the externality of the worlds, as opposed to the spheres, which are the internal aspects of the worlds. So this requires a little bit of explanation. We said before that there are four general levels, how Hashem's energy travels from the highest of levels, travels down to this physical world. And then we explained that each one of these four levels, it doesn't just travel zoom from one level to the next, it travels through 10 stages, 10 steps in each of the world. But you understand that even if you think about wires in your house or pipes in your house that are carrying water or gas, or wires that are carrying electricity. So yes, it's true that the energy travels from the power plant, it travels to the wires that are in the street or below the street, and then it travels through stages. It goes into your house, it goes into your circuit breaker box, and from there it goes to more wires. That's the energy that is being transmitted from stage to stage and step to step. So those are the 10 spheres, the 10 levels. But what about the structure itself? What about the power plant itself? What about the outside of the wire? What about the house itself? What about the circuit breaker box that is containing all the switches? That also required energy. Somebody had to use energy in order to build that structure. So that means even before you turn on the switch, even before the power plant sends energy through the wires to your house, some company had to come and put the wires in place and make the system. That required energy itself. that required work and that required energy and that required less stuff. And if we're going to compare, if we're going to use the analogy correctly, then it's not just the wires, the physicality, the wire, but the physical wire is energy, because mass and energy is interchangeable. Energy is mass. Mass is energy. So the body of the wire also needs energy. So there's two types of energy. There's energy that is creating the structure, and then there's an energy that is flowing through the structure. Now, when we do mitzvahs, what we want, optimally, is to get energy directly from the source, from the highest of sources. We don't want to be attaching ourselves to the energy that's in the structure. We don't want to be powering somehow, assuming you're able, which I don't know if such a thing exists, but assuming that you're able to somehow get electricity just from the dead wires, because after all, they required energy. But that energy wouldn't be the same, let's say, as electricity you're getting directly from the power source, and it's a different type of thing. So this is what happens. The externality of the world, meaning the energy that Hashem put in to creating the world, that's also Hashem's energy. The Sfirot, however, which are the levels where the energy flows from one level to the next, that's the real power. That's a direct connection to Hashem. So now, if you do a mitzvah, and the mitzvah that you do with internal emotion, you really feel it in deep inside of you. So we understand that correspondingly, we get the energy that's inside the vessels, that's inside the pipeline, it's inside the wires, so to speak. But if the mitzvah that you do is done in a backhanded way, it's done in a casual way, it's done without deep feeling, without deep emotion, without deep thought, it's just, you go through the motion, so to speak, then you connect yourself to the externality of the world, to the energy that is, because after all, unlike the house, where it's dead energy, this is Hashem's structure. And Hashem's structure, there's no such thing as dead energy. Even this structure itself is Hashem's energy. So it's not that you're not connecting to Hashem's energy. You are, but not to the energy where you potentially could be getting from. So the service remains below in this world of separation, the level called the externality of the worlds, as opposed to the spheres, as opposed to the energy in the pipelines, which are the internal aspects of the world. So you have the external aspect, the internal aspect. It's called in language of Chassidus and Kabbalah, the chitzonius, the outside, and the pnimius, the inside, which we'll talk about in other analogies to have more understanding of what does it mean, energy. If at the end of the day, it's Hashem's energy, who cares if it's inside, outside? Hashem's energy is Hashem's energy. So, again, the difference is relationship. You don't want to have a casual relationship where the person brushes by you in the morning and says good morning and that's it, and that's your whole relationship. No, you want to have a warm embrace. You want to have a deep relationship. So this is, a different story. It has not the power to rise and be absorbed in Hashem's unity. You want to be, at the end of the day, it's all about unity with Hashem. It's about the relationship, meaning that they're Holy Spirit. And Alter Rebbe quotes from the Zohar to prove this concept, that when you do mitzvahs without the right frame of mind, without the right fear and love of Hashem, it doesn't access the deepest levels of energy that it potentially could access. The Zohar says, without fear and love, it does not fly upward. It cannot rise to stand before Hashem. It doesn't go and have this type of relationship, this type of attachment. The inability of divine service to ascend to the spheres applies, the Alter Rebbe says, not only where your motive is actual Shalei Lishma. We're going to talk about this now, the differentiation. So if a person does a mitzvah, the Rebbe is now going to explain to us that there is a differentiation. Okay, so far we said that the great, great tzaddikim, their mitzvahs are incredible. Why are their mitzvahs incredible? The same mitzvah that we do and that a great tzaddik does, the great tzaddik's mitzvah is incredible. Why is that? Because it's done with such a self-effacement, with such a connection, with such a love of Hashem, such a fear of Hashem, such an incredible, that's intellectually, that they understand why they're doing it, how the process works of the spirit and love. It's not just that they're that they are feeling this emotion, but they're less level is emotional level, fine, but it's still perfectly done. What about if a person, however, does a mitzvah, not for any perfect reason, but actually for an imperfect reason? And the reason is because you want somebody to say that you're a great person. So you're doing it actually for your own purpose. You're doing it in order that the person should say, oh, look at that guy, look at that woman. She's so such a religious lady, such a nice lady. I want to hang out with them, or I want to respect them. So I want to give that you looking for a person's looking for a title, or a person's looking for some other gain, some other side gain. So you're doing it for yourself. Is this a bad thing? Where does your mitzvah go? Not only you're not doing it for love and fear of Hashem, but you're actually doing it for yourself, for your personal purpose. Now, would that we would do mitzvahs for this reason? We're soon going to see. The Rebbe is going to tell us that would that you do the mitzvahs for this reason. But let's go through the text so we'll see the differentiation. The Rebbe says that the first level of shaloi lishma, which means not for the sake of simply doing it because you love Hashem, simply doing it because you're in fear of separation from Hashem. So the first level is not for some ulterior motive, in which case you're serving yourself and not Hashem. And for sure, if you're serving yourself, then how could your mitzvah stand before Hashem, as the Zohar says? But even if you're doing it by rote, you're doing it because mechanically, your fear of me, Alter Rebbe quotes a pasuk verse that says, your fear of me was like commandments of men done by rote. You serve Hashem out of habit. So a person was raised by their mother, by the father, by their community to act a certain way and do a certain thing. And that's what they do. They don't think. In the morning, they go to shul, and David, wonderful thing. Come Shabbos, they keep Shabbos, wonderful thing. When they have to eat, they go into the kosher store and they eat kosher food, wonderful thing. But why they do it? Is it because that's what I do? I don't even know. I mean, if for all practical purposes, it could even not be Judaism. It could be just waking up in the morning and brushing your teeth. I wake up in the morning and brush my teeth. I wake up in the morning, I put on my tefillin. What's the difference? That's what I do in the morning. I don't know why. Why do I do it? Because that's what I do. I wake up in the morning and I eat breakfast and I choose the kosher food because that's the way I was raised. Now, of course, it's still a mitzvah. This is the important thing to recognize. And it's still a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah that accomplishes as much as that same mitzvah could have accomplished with a much deeper level of connection. Again, it's relationship. So you serve Hashem out of a habit acquired in youth, having been trained and taught by his father and his teacher to fear God, to serve him. He does not really do it for Hashem's sake, for its own sake. It's impossible to serve Hashem truly lishma without arising the natural fear and love. So the Rebbe had previously explained in previous chapters, we spoke about at length the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem and how the perfect way to do a mitzvah is with fear and love of Hashem. So we did speak about various ways to wake up this fear and love that a person has. Now the Rebbe said that you should recognize and realize that if you think it's impossible for you to serve Hashem with fear and love, you should just know that every Jew has natural fear and love of Hashem. And that's a gift that we have from our parents. It's in our spiritual DNA. It goes all the way back to Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. And this is our spiritual DNA. So at least Alter Rebbe says, think about that, even if you can't wake it up. So it's impossible to serve Hashem truly lishma, meaning for the sake of serving Hashem, without some emotion, without arousing at least the natural fear and love. And arousing means to bring them out of concealment. Now, a person, again, would not, Aldera previously explained, a person wouldn't do a mitzvah unless you love Hashem. Why are you going to take your time? You're not going to show up to somebody's party unless you're the friend, unless you care about them on some level. I mean, you could later argue, you know, your spouse does something for you, you do something for your child, or your child does something for you, and they say, you don't really care about me. What do you mean I don't care about you? I woke up in the morning, I drove you to school, I drove you to your thing, and I showed up at your thing, and I came to your party. I know, but you don't care about me. You don't care about me. I did this, I did that. You know, they talk about the famous books with the different love languages. You know, this is this person's way of showing love, that way of showing love. So clearly, if we're going to do a mitzvah, we love Hashem. If not, there's absolutely no reason to do a mitzvah. What am I doing it for? But the Alter Rebbe says, so not to minimize the doing of the mitzvah that is being done, that's a love language, so to speak. But just like we're talking about the five love languages, whatever number is, we are talking here about a certain love language. Hashem wants a little more from us, not just that we did the mitzvah, but Hashem wants us to actually at least think about while you're doing it, not just to do it, but think about while you're doing it that you're doing it for me. Hashem says, I want you to do it for me, for my purpose, my sake. It's like we want somebody to do something for us, not just to do it. Oh, I did it, fine. There, it's done. But yeah, I know, but you know, no emotion, nothing. It's not good. So by bringing the matter of the concealment of the heart into revelation, at least in the mind and the latency of the heart, one cannot arouse his natural love of God to the point where it's actually felt in your heart. Al Rebbe says that just like a person feels the mitzvah that you do, if it's a physical mitzvah, you're supposed to feel the emotion. It's supposed to affect you physically. If you can't be affected physically and feel the emotion, the love for Hashem, then you haven't sufficiently raised this emotion. If it doesn't occupy your headspace, if it doesn't make you feel a certain warmth, a certain sense, then it's not warm enough. You haven't turned the heat up enough. So anyway, he must try, as discussed above, to arouse it at least to the level that it can be felt in the conscious mind and the substratum of the heart. At least a person should think, I'm doing this because I love Hashem. At least that. Even this low-level arousal will produce a will and resolve to study Torah, fulfill the mitzvahs. Thus, the resulting divine service contains at least some degree of the force, the kavana, the intention of his natural love. Because the love for Hashem that is latent, that is inborn, that is in our DNA, created the resolve, created the resolution to do the mitzvah, which you're actually now implementing, you're actually now doing. So therefore, if a person does a mitzvah, and by doing the mitzvah, you're thinking, I love Hashem, and that's why I'm doing the mitzvah, even if you're just saying those words, I love Hashem, but you don't feel it in your heart, you don't feel the love like you would feel the love for, you know, somebody, a human being that you're in love with, you don't feel that love, but you are at least acting according to your stated emotion, which is true because you do have it deep inside yourself. If, however, you don't even have this level, one does not produce even this minimal level of arousal love, which is naturally found in the heart, then you can't do the service, lishma. Then it's literally just mechanical. For just as one does not do something for his fellow to carry out his friend's will unless he loves him or fears him, so too it is impossible to act truly for Hashem's sake to carry out his will, unless you remember, at least in your mind, fear and love of Hashem to some level. Furthermore, the arousal of love alone without the arousal of at least the lower of fear is also not called a service. You can't have love without fear. We're going to explain this later on, why that is, why you have to have both. And the reason briefly is because the relationship that we have to Hashem has to be a dual kind of relationship, a relationship of a son to a parent, and that's a relationship that's based on love, and also has to be a relationship of to serve Hashem. To serve Hashem means a servant to his master, and a servant serves Hashem out of fear. Unlike a child who carries out the father's wishes mainly because he loves it, one performs a mitzvah out of love Hashem without fear. You are acting for Hashem's sake, but you're not serving Hashem. You're not worshiping Hashem, and so you're being buddy buddy with Hashem. But you don't have the aspect of being you feel yourself, so to speak, and you want to be nullified to Hashem. That's what a servant is. So the difference between the greatest levels of love and the greatest levels of fear is greatest levels of love, you feel great, but you feel important. You feel it's almost like it's true you're doing it for Hashem, because we're not talking about here about a person that's doing it for himself, but you don't have this aspect of being nullified. You don't have this aspect of not feeling yourself at all. However, when one engages, unless it's the highest level of love, which I'll explain, is such a love that you're totally not even involved in the world. However, one engages in divine service exclusively, not lishma. So that's the first level. First level of doing something not lishma, meaning not for the sake of Hashem, is not that you're doing it for an ulterior motive, not that you're doing it for some personal gain, but you're just mechanical. That's the way you're trained. However, what about if you're actually doing the mitzvah, but you're doing it for an ulterior motive? Self-glorification. You want people to look up to you. You want people to say, oh, look at that person. I really respect them. As for example, in order to become a scholar and like, person wants to be respected. And this motive, which is derived from Klipas Noga, it derived from the level we explained right way back in the beginning of Tanya, that the energy that Hashem puts into the world, Hashem puts into in various containers of various categories. Some energy is completely always connected to Hashem. That's called Kedusha, holiness. Other energy, Hashem says, you show, Donald, I don't want you accessing it. And this is forbidden for you to do. And that's called the three impure klipas. And then there is neutral energy that Hashem says, I'm giving you the choice how to use it. If you use it positively to serve me, you have elevated that energy. If you use it, this thing, and you use it for self, you're serving yourself, for making yourself happy and not thinking about me, Hashem, then you have relegated this energy, you have demoted, you have put this energy down into the lower worlds, into the lower levels. Now, this is what we're talking about here. So you take the motive, which is derived from Klipas Noga, and you study Torah, then the Torah is in exile within the Klipa. So what you've done is you've taken energy that potentially could be raised to be connected with Hashem. And instead, because you've used and done the mitzvah with, of course, how do you exist? How do you, with Hashem's energy, you're existing with energy. Your life is your soul, your neshama, your energy. So you've taken your time, your effort, your energy, and you have demoted it. You've put it down. And even if you're studying Torah, but if you're studying Torah for a selfish purpose and not because you want to be connected with Hashem, you want to understand how to do a mitzvah better, you want to be a more perfect servant of Hashem. You see, I mean, just as a parenthetical comment, you see how much is demanded of us. I mean, halavayas, you know, we would be on this level that we'd be studying Torah all day long for self-glorification. This would be an amazing thing already. But the Alter Rebbe expects a lot more from us. So the Torah is studied in a state of exile within the Klipa. However, the Alter Rebbe says, don't get too worried, because every Jew is promised that we will do teshuva. And when we do teshuva, when we repent, that energy will rise up from whichever level that we relegated it to. Wherever we put it, we return to Hashem, as Torah returns with him from Klipa to holiness. And for this reason, our rabbis of blessed memory have said that you should study Torah, even at Shalolishma, even if you're studying for self-glorification, even if you're studying, we're not talking about mechanically. Mechanically is already not a problem. You haven't put the energy of the Torah and the mitzvahs into the negative side. But even if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, do the right action for the wrong reasons. Even if you should always engage in Torah, even for Lishma, for out of Shlishma, you will certainly arrive at study and observance Lishma for the sake of Hashem, for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of being a perfect servant of Hashem, since it is certain that he will ultimately repent. Why is it certain? Because the Torah promises us in the Chumash itself that the Jews will repent, because no one is banished from him by his sins, will remain banished, will ultimately repent. Alter Rebbe thus perceives two novel insights into the statement. The progress from Sholashma, first of all, from going not for the right reasons to the right reasons, is a certainty, not just a possibility. Since every sinner will ultimately repent, this is promised in the Chumash. Not only will the person advance from the state of not for the right reasons to Lishma for the right reasons, but even the Torah will be elevated. This also applies to mitzvahs. However, the Alter Rebbe says, going back to not acting Shalom Lishma, if one acts neutrally, neither lishma or shelo lishma, meaning again, this person is doing things mechanically, the matter is not contingent on repentance, because you haven't actually taken the energy and put it on the negative side. In order to move the energy from your mitzvah, from your Torah study, to the negative side, to the side of klipa, you must have a negative thought. You must have a thought of gaiva, of arrogance, a thought of looking for honor, some negative thought. But if you don't have any negative thought while you're studying this Torah, while you're doing the mitzvah, but you're just doing it mechanically, or you're doing it just because, or you're doing it because you haven't properly prepared yourself and you're doing the mitzvah and you know, it's time to daven, it's time to light shop candles, it's time, so you just light it. You don't think about anything. You just do it because you got to do it, or somebody stops you on the street. You know, could you put on tefillin? The guy puts on tefillin. So he doesn't know about tefillin. He knows he's doing a mitzvah. I would argue, actually, in such a case, that this is the highest lishma, because why else would a person put on tefillin unless they're a Jew and accessing at that moment their deep levels of the neshama, even though they don't maybe think about the process. But anyway, rather, as soon as he reviews the subject of lishma, then even that which he had studied neutrally soars on high. As soon as you review the subject, since no klipas noga has yet clothed itself in his previous study, because his earlier study was not motivated by selfish reasons, the Torah studied never went down. It merely lacked the fuel, the rocket energy to go up. So where did it stay? It stayed, as we mentioned earlier, it stayed in the externality of the world. It didn't lodge itself yet in the elevator process, in the pipeline of the 10 spheros that are then going to connect to the higher levels and higher levels. It stays outside. It's not been placed in the freight elevator yet. It hasn't been loaded onto the rocket yet. It's just sitting there on the loading dock. So fine. In that case, all you got to do is study Lishma. And when you study Lishma, everything else that you studied previously, neutrally, is then going to be attached and connected and go up at the same time. This fault is remedied by reviewing the subject Lishma. Therefore, a person should always occupy himself with Torah, mitzvahs, even shalom Lishma. Now, the same is true, Alter Rebbe concludes, with prayer without kavana, as discussed in the Zohar. When a person recites a prayer one more time, but this time you say it with kavana, your earlier prayer ascends as well. Further in Tanya, Alter Rebbe is going to explain to us that even if you daven one time during the year, the person davens every day or multiple times during the year, and each time you daven, you don't have the right intentions. You're not really emotionally there. You're saying the words, but you're not really emotionally invested in your prayers. And then one time during the year, you are really excited about your davening. That releases all of those previous prayers from this where they were before, because they haven't been done with a bad intention, just not with the right intention, not with the rocket fuel intention. So throughout the year, only one full prayer with kavanah can be assembled piecemeal from one part of the prayer. Say with kavanah one day, this one prayer is sufficient to elevate all the prayers of the entire year. For even where specific kavanah is lacking, the prayer is endowed with the comprehensive kavanah that one is praying to Hashem. It's still a request and still a of Hashem, and it's still a statement of connection to Hashem. So therefore, a person sometimes feels, when you go in front of a tzaddik, let's say we used to daven in the Rebbe's presence, and all of a sudden your davening was so much more special. So yes, it's true, because the Rebbe, in presence of a tzaddik, davening in the Rebbe's minyan, elevates your davening, because the Rebbe's davening is being elevated, but also because you yourself are more focused. So if you're davening, so when you're more focused, then that releases all your previous davenings that you may have davened by yourself where you weren't focused. Or you show up in shul in Rosh Hashanah, you show up in shul in Yom Kippur, and all of a sudden you feel, hopefully if you did a little preparation, or you're contemplating your davening in Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, with some special time, or you go to the Ohel, you go to the grave of some great tzaddikim, and all of a sudden you feel like I really connected, you really feel uplifted. Part of that is because all of your previous davenings, assuming you davened in other places too, are also being schlepped along. So that process of davening one time good is a very powerful process, because it elevates and it lifts up everything else you did. And the process of doing one mitzvah with the right kavana is very powerful, the right intention, because it elevates and lifts up all of the previous mitzvahs that you did. So for that reason, it could be that a person who is not on such a high level, generally speaking, will feel yet more motivated by a single mitzvah that they've done, because this is not just one mitzvah that they're feeling now. Now they're feeling tens of mitzvahs, maybe hundreds of mitzvahs, because those other mitzvahs weren't with the proper intention, but this one mitzvah is. At any rate, this is the conclusion of this chapter, and we started the chapter by talking about the levels of kavana, the levels of intention. We spoke about the idea that the neshama, the soul, is greater than an angel. An angel is static. Even the highest of angels are still static. They stay in one place, whereas the neshamas are not static. The neshamas are rising higher because the source of the neshamas, source of the Jewish souls, is higher than the source even of the greatest of angels. And we also mentioned, being part of this chapter, that when a person chooses to serve Hashem, where you could have done that moment either not a mitzvah or actually a sin, something wrong, instead you chose to do the right thing, you chose to do a mitzvah, that choice itself is a conscious decision to serve Hashem, because you could have done the opposite. And because you had a conscious choice to do the mitzvah, that itself is an intellectual service of Hashem. It's not the most perfect by any means, because you haven't, you're not motivated by a perfect understanding or a perfect love. You're not motivated by your previous study, as if you would have, if you spend 2-3 hours studying about the greatness of the mitzvah, and then you go and do the mitzvah. So, you know, that's clearly a much higher way of doing a mitzvah. But even if you don't spend 2-3 hours, even if you'd spend 2 seconds, and you just think about, what should I do now? Should I do this or should I do that? No, I'm going to do the mitzvah. That choice itself is made in the mind. And because it's made in the mind, then it has the power to be called, connected to an intellectual service of Hashem. And that can be, therefore, in the higher world, the world of Bria, the world of serving Hashem with intention. As opposed to, we explained, the world of Yetzira, which is serving Hashem with just plain with emotion. And again, the reason is because the neshamas ultimately are connected higher and higher and higher. So this is an amazing chapter, talking about the power of even doing the simplest mitzvah. The reason that a person should not get depressed if your mitzvah observance is not the great tzaddikim. The Rebbe says you're connected. You're connected not only to the great tzaddikim, but you're connected to Hashem, and your neshamas is ultimately mystically connected in a very deep way. Your mitzvahs are going to be elevated, even if you're doing them for completely the wrong reasons. Your mitzvahs will be elevated, and your mitzvahs will therefore release that the amount of energy that you're looking for. We do, however, have a little more beautiful and deeper understanding of what our connection to great tzaddikim is and why it's so important to connect to a tzaddik. Because it's the same as, you know, I mean, Lahavdil, I shouldn't say Lahavdil, it's analogous to a great athlete who has an amazing, amazing coach, but this is more than a coach. It's actually a method of connection to Hashem that you just can't reach on your own. So when you appreciate what the higher levels are, when you appreciate the greater levels of serving Hashem, then not only does that give you a certain appreciation for what you're doing, but it also gives you an understanding of where you could reach. That doesn't mean that we're capable of becoming tzaddikim, but it does allow us a little window, a little insight into how great how amazing and how deep the potential for connection is. Versus saying, I do a mitzvah and that's it. There's nothing else to it. No, it's not so. It's like saying I play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano and there's nothing else to playing piano. Of course, that's not so. The more you understand the great piano masters and the great violin masters, the more you understand what the instrument is capable of producing. So this is this chapter. If anybody has any questions, we will continue chapter 40, Mirtz Hashem, next week.
Okay. Okay, Robert. So, like, you know, always likes to summarize. So I think the way I understood it is that the point is that even if we do mitzvah for a wrong reason, there is still a potential for it to be elevated. First, I mean, one reason is that, you know, even if there's like some element of a choice, like it's still like we're making a choice, right? So it's still higher than just doing it emotionally. And then also, Rabbi says that we know that eventually we will all have a chance of teshuva. So for those reasons, even if we do mitzvah for wrong reason, it will still go up and be elevated. Something like that.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly right. Bottom line is, do as many good things, as many mitzvahs as we can, and you're never going to lose. You're only going to gain